Good evening. Thanks for braving the cold. Let's begin. In this week's Parshas Truma, we have obviously the building of the Kelim of the Mishkan, therefore to be later put in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis says, in describing the Aron Kodesh, the Torah says that the Aron Kodesh needs to be covered in gold, mibayis umichutz titzapena, that has to be covered with gold inside and out. And we know very, very well from many, many drashos, many, many fine divrei Torah, that the Aron Kodesh always represents Torah, Talmid Chachamim, it held the Shinluchos HaBris, and the Sefer Torah. Certainly it's representative of what Torah is and how to teach Torah. And based on that, from the idea that the Aron Kodesh, reflecting the Talmid Chacham, needs to be covered in gold, mibayis umichutz, from inside and out, so Amar Rava, kol Talmid Chacham shein tocha kibaro, eino Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham whose inside does not reflect his outside and vice versa, is not a Talmud Chacham, and he should not learn from him. And perhaps we'll see in a moment, this expression of Tocha Kabaro also shows us that you should not teach someone who is not Tocha Kabaro, who is not honest inside and out. And this is dependent on a famous Gemara in Brachos, and other Gemaras as well that reflect this idea again and again. It's repeated similarly in Makos and Daf Yud Amar Aleph. The Gemara there is talking about when a person kills by accident and they need to go to near Mikla, a city of refuge, and we are aware of the halacha that if someone kills by accident, he or his Rebbe or he and his student also go along with him to the near Mikla so he can learn Torah. That is another discussion on its own, but the Gemara there says, Talmud Shigala Migalan Rabo Imo, if a person has to go to Galus because of manslaughter, so his Rebbe goes with him, Shneamar v'chai, that he should live. Avid le'midi d'havi le'chiyusa, he has to do something that will give him chiyus, he'll have a true life. Amar of Zira mikan shal yishana adam l'talmud shenehagun, this teaches us that a Rebbe should be careful to not teach an improper student. Hagun means improper, and the Rebbe is essentially being exiled as a punishment, as the Mefarshim and the Gemara explain, that the Rebbe of this student who is improper, who ended up having to go to an near mikla because of manslaughter, should have known better that his student would have been irresponsible, or should have known better how his student would have acted, and therefore needs to go with him to Gullus, so to speak, to the near mikla as a punishment. You need to make sure that your students are good people. This is the only halacha cited by the Rif in this perek of Makos, because the rest of the perek is talking about things that are not halacha on Maisa nowadays, because you don't have near miklats. And the only halacha that's cited in the entire perek is this, that a person needs to be careful that his students are tocha kabaro, that they are hagun, that they are good people. What does it mean, a talmud shein hagun? What does it mean, a student who is improper, who's not good? So we have a number of different definitions. The Gemara, famous Gemara in Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, which is the discussion of when Rav Gamliel was deposed because of the machlokas he had with Rabbi Yeshua, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azari was put in his stead. We all know the famous debate and the story that ensued afterwards. So after Rabbi Elazar ben Azari was put instead, Rabbi Gamliel was not the Abbas anymore, was not the Nasi, not the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Gemara tells us, Oso hayom salkuhu l'shomer ha-Pesach. They removed the guard from the Beis Medrash on that day. V'nasin alahem reshus l'tamim l'kanes Shaira Gamliel Machris, because what happened was, until that time, the students couldn't enter on their own, because Rav Gamliel had a takana that he said, the Omer Kol Talmud She'ein Tocha Kabaro, any student who does not reflective on the inside of how he is on the outside, Lo Yikanes the Beis HaMedrash, should not enter into the Beis Medrash, Ha'oyoma Itasbe Kamas, absolutely, they had to add extra benches on that day, because all of these students who might not have been as perfect inside and out as Rav Gamliel intended were allowed into the Beis Medrash at that time. So Tosus Rush says there in the Gemara that Tocho Kabaro is the same thing as a Talmud Sheinu Hagun. That's a bit of a chiddush. We generally don't understand this case to be talking about people who are doing anything wrong, but the Tosus Rush says that it's the same thing. That the Gemara is telling us that Rav Gamliel did not want Talmidim, Sheinu Hagun, bad, improper students, to come into the Beis Medrash. The Maharsha, on the similar Gemara in Yuma Ayin Beis, says that someone who's Einu Hagun is someone who only learns Torah to become well known and doesn't have Yiras Shemayim. So someone who lacks Yiras Shemayim would be a Talmud Sheinu Hagun, who one should not teach Torah to. And these understandings focus on someone who does averos. The Meiri has a totally different approach. The Meiri on the Mishnah of Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, which is going to come back again and again and again, because the first Mishnah Pirkei Avos is telling us to have a lot of students, and is not telling us to discern the quality of the students. So there the Meiri says that someone with a bad midos should not be taught. We're not talking about his machshava, his yirshamayim. We're talking about someone with bad midos, someone who acts improperly. The Aruch HaShulchan has a long piece over here in Reish Mem Vav in Yerodea, in Sif Chaf Aleph, where he says it's someone who learns Torah in order to provoke, lekanter, to anger. Someone who only learns Torah to make the Rebbe upset, to try to ask questions, to try to make things difficult. Someone who's certainly learning shelo lishma, to its worst degree. That's the type of person we're talking about. So, for the sake of the conversation going forward, we'll assume a Talmud Shem Hagen is someone who is coming with either bad midos or coming to be negative against the Torah, to treat Torah in a negative fashion. Not simply someone who's not showing Torah mitzvos. We'll discuss that later on at the end. But for now, let's assume it's someone who purposefully is going against the Torah, someone who doesn't want to have any connection to Torah, is only learning Torah, or is being forced to learn Torah because he wants to cause trouble or he has bad midos. There's a machlokas brought at the end of the second parak of the Avos de Rabbi Nassan, which is the Tosefta on Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that Midu Talmidim Harbe, that we have here on the sheet in the fourth source, should Beis Shammai Omer and Beis Shammai say, Al Yishana Adam Ela L'mishu Chacham V'anav, you should only teach Torah to someone who is wise and humble, who ben Avos V'ashir and has a good yichus and is wealthy. That is a very small group of the Jewish people. Who Beis Hillel, Omer and Beis Hillel say, L'chol Adam Yishana, you should teach Torah to everyone. Shaharbe poshim hayu behem Yisrael. Because there are many people who are mistaken in their averos. People who make terrible mistakes, do averos. V'niskarvu l'talmud Torah. And they were brought close with Torah. V'yotsu mehem tzadikim v'chassidim v'kasherim. And those people turned in, or those people had children in the future, who were tzadikim, chassidim, kosher, fine, upstanding Jews. So we see here in the Avos Rabbi Nassan that Hillel understands, or Beis Hillel understands, that yeah, we should teach Torah to people who might not necessarily be the best candidates to learn Torah at the outset.
But it seems they're two separate things. One of them is somebody who has an agenda to use the Torah for nefarious purposes,
yeah.
And the other one is dafka people who are bad people.
Yeah.
It's not the same category.
Correct. They are not necessarily the same, but we're going to lump them together now just for the sake of the discussion. In the end, we'll bifurcate them into different categories. But now, just to assume, eino hagud, improper, means someone who's not doing the right thing, just for the sake of discussion. There's a comment of the Eicha Rabasi. The Eicha Rabasi, the Medrash on Eicha, all the great books of Medrash open with psichos, with introductions, where they take a list of the great Tanayim and they try to encapsulate the message of this book, of this Megillah, in one pasuk. So the Gemara, the Medrash says, in Psicha Beis, Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiya v'Shem Rav Chiya bar Avi Amri. Ksiv, it says, V'osi azvu es Torah si lo shamru. They abandoned me, they didn't listen to my Torah. Halavai, osi azvu so rasi shamru. It would have been better, says the Kadosh Baruch, they would have abandoned me, but they would have kept the Torah. As long as a person is still connected to Torah in some way, says the Medrash, mitoch shayu mesaskimba, if a person is learning Torah, hama'or shiba, the light of the Torah, haya machzirin lemutav. As long as a person is still connected to Torah, even though he is not necessarily a good person, someone who is left the Kadosh Baruch Hu, left the path, on the level of perhaps the leading to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, if they would have still been connected to Torah, then Limud HaTorah would have still connected them and they could have had a possibility of tshuva. So we see again, teaching Torah to someone who might not be Hagun. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tes Zion says that even a Rasha can change himself if he dedicates himself to Torah and mitzvahs, even if it's not L'shem Shemayim, that Torah has the ability to change people. This seemingly, all these sources indicate that even if the person is Eino Hagun, you should still be teaching them Torah. The Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, in Shar Dalet, in Beis Vav, he cites the Gemara Nechulin we're going to get to momentarily in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara there says that a person who teaches a Talmud Shein Hagun is someone that's likely being Ovid Avodah Zarah, a specific type of Avodah Zarah that we'll see in a moment. But someone who teaches someone who's improper, it's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. Says the Ramchal, this is only regarding someone who uses Torah to scorn, to pervert, to use it improperly. And Chazal revealed to us a Raz Gadol, says the Ramchal, a great secret, that if a person is a Rasha, but he stays connected to Talmud Torah in a serious manner, then that connection will spiritually motivate him to return. So again, more and more sources indicating that, give the guy a Daf Gemara, give him something to connect him, and that will bring back even the furthest person, according to these understanding of these Achronim and Rishonim, and Tanayim. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Dalet Gimel, that citing some of the above sources, and he adds that according to the Chachmei HaKabbalah, that if a Rasha learns Torah, then he does tshuva, the Torah will help him later off in life, or as a Gilgal. But if he learns Torah as a Rasha, when he comes back again to fix his Averos, that Torah will be beneficial. And therefore he says, never refrain from engaging in Torah. Always give a person the opportunity to learn Torah, no matter how far off they have fallen. Lahalacha. The Minchas Yitzchak writes in Chelek Tes and Kuf Al, if you don't have it here on the sheet, it's a long tshuva, he says that one can teach Torah to someone who is not the most appropriate student, and you can be. We see from it's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We know that we always follow Beis Hillel. If Beis Hillel said you should teach the person who's not appropriate to learn Torah, then that's the halacha, says the Minchas Yitzchak. Case closed. You should be allowed to teach such a person Torah. The Chidah writes in his Zroa Yamin, which is his commentary on Pirkei Avos. So he says that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, right? What does the Mishnah Begin Pirkei Avos say? The Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, without any filter, without discerning. You should teach as many students as you can, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel, says the Chidah. And then they cite a Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Two very interesting stories. We don't have it here on the page, but the stories are as follows. That Rebbe went to the city of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, and there, he asked if Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon had left a son. And he was told that he had a son, and his son was doing very improper things. The Gemara says that he was so involved in inappropriate relationships that the usually the people who were to be paid were paying him. That's how steeped he was in being inappropriate. And they found him, and he took him away. And Rebbe gave him the title of called him like a rabbi, and he asked Rabbi Shimon ben Isi to teach him. And every day, Rabbi Shimon ben Isi would sit with the son of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and try to get him to learn Torah. And the son would say, no, I want to go home. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Leave me alone. The Torah is not for me. Let me go back to my old ways. And Rabbi Shimon ben Isi would keep him there. And he told him, they said, they gave you all this kavod. Rabbi came to look for you. He called you a rabbi. He gave you respect. And how could you act in such a way? He lifted you up. He made you into an Azam Gadol. You're going to go back to your old ways that were despicable. So he said, okay, I'm not going to go home. And he stayed. And then when he grew up, he went to learn in Rebbe's yeshiva. And Rebbe forgot about the boy. He forgot what he looked like. Forgot about the whole episode. And Rebbe heard a voice that sounded very similar to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. It sounded like the boy's father. And they told him that this is the son. The son is now learning in yeshiva. So Rebbe quoted a pasuk. He said, the pasuk says, Chaim pri tzadik eitz. This refers to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, v'lokeach nefashos chacham. This refers to Rabbi Shimon ben Isi, that the chacham took and saved this nefesh. That the Talmid Chachamim, the teachers of Torah, can save lives by lifting a person up and teaching him Torah. So that is story number one. Then Rebbe went to the city of Rabbi Tarfon, and he wanted to know if Rabbi Tarfon had left a son, and he found a son. He was also doing bad things. And the same thing, he promised him that if you come learn Torah, that he would take care of him. And so what the Gemara wants to know, why did Rabbi Yonasi take such interest in these people? They were off the derech, they were far away, they were doing terrible averos. So why is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi so concerned with them and trying to teach them Torah? Teach them to say a Kaddish, you know, do something. But why does he have to bring them back to the Beis Medrash? So they say that anyone who teaches Torah to another's child merits to sit in the yeshiva shamala, and anyone who teaches Torah to a ben hamaretz, so all of his averus are torn up. So we see here again, the Gemara is certainly advocating what? Someone who is far away from Torah, in the most distant, despicable, horrific way, you still take them and you still teach them Torah. So we have the Gemara in Yuma that said it has to be by some mechutz. We have the Gemara in Chulin. We have the Gemara in Brachos. And we see that it's not the halacha. The halacha is someone who's very, very distant from Torah should still be taught Torah. You want to hear a remarkable statement? So look at the Leket Yosher on page Lamed Tes. The Leket Yosher is the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. Nowadays, it's very common that the student goes to the Rebbe and he writes down, like he asks him questions and he writes them down, like they do with Ruchaim Kanievsky, and they ask him all these questions and they write them down and they publish a book. So the Leket Yosher was the first person to do that. He went to the Trumas Hadeshen and he asked him questions. He just wrote down everything his Rebbe did. So the Leket Yosher says as follows. I asked the Trumas Hadeshen, Katan Shaholich B'derech Lotova, a child who walks in the improper path, Kagon Mishkav Zachar, he involves himself in homosexual activities, Va'over Alav Lo Signov, and he goes and he steals, Imutu Lalam Du Torah, can you go and teach him Torah? Va'amar Hain, and he said, yes, you should still teach such a person Torah. Very, very extreme Averos, and nevertheless, the Trumas Hadeshen says the halacha is like Hillel, that you should teach them. Now, someone indicate maybe he's saying it's just a katan, doesn't say a gadol, just a child, but that doesn't seem to be so clear. So we see again from the Trumas Hadeshen the importance of teaching Torah, even someone who's very far away. The Gemara in Shabbos, Pezayim and Al, tells us the famous story that Moshe broke the luchos. How did Moshe know to break the luchos? Hashem didn't tell him to, so the Gemara says he has a kal v'chomer. What was the kal v'chomer? What was his logical inference? Because the Torah says, when it comes to Korban Pesach, called Ben Nechar Lo Yechal Bo, anyone who's a Ben Nechar, anyone who acts like a guy who's so far away from the Torah, he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, if, when it comes to this one mitzvah, a person's called a Ben Nechar, they're so far away from Torah, they're like a guy, that a person should not eat the Korban Pesach, so Kal V'chomer, if the Jewish people are being Oved Avodah Zarah in front of everybody else, that the Torah is not shy for them. The whole Torah should be uprooted. And therefore Moshe learned the Kal V'chomer from Korban Pesach, and Moshe broke the Luchos. Asks Tosfos, we know that Svara, that a logic, like Kal V'chomer, has the din of a Doraisa, Torah level commandment. If you can prove something logically based on the logic of the Torah and the Pesukim of the Torah, that has the status of a Torah level commandment. So Tosfos asks, so why does the Gemara say that Moshe came up with this idea on his own and Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed with it afterwards? It's logical. The Torah itself dictates that Moshe should have broken the Luchos. If I have a Kal V'chomer, that means the Torah is speaking to me, telling me to break the Luchos. Why do they turn this into Moshe acting on his own without the permission of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? No. The Torah itself is telling you, Moshe, to break the Luchos. You have a Kal V'chomer. A Kal V'chomer means, a logical inference means, that you can go and do it on your own. And therefore, it's not a chiddush, it should have been logical to Moshe from the outset to go and break it. It's not like Moshe came up with an idea that Hashem wouldn't have agreed to on its own. So therefore, Tosfos says that when someone does an Aveira, it doesn't mean they can never do tshuva, and they can be brought back to Torah. That's what Tosfos says. Well, Moshe could have said, B'nai Yisrael are doing terrible Aveiros, but they can always do tshuva. I can teach them Torah, and B'nai Yisrael will be brought back to Torah mitzvos. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? No, I'm going to be machmir. I'm not going to teach them the Torah. I'm going to break the luchos. So says the Tshuva Zber Shev and Simin Yadalid. What do we see from Tosfos? That you can teach Torah to someone who is worshipping in Egel HaZav. You can still go and teach them Torah. Moshe wanted to be machmir and not teach them Torah. But what does Tosfos tell us? That you can teach someone who's worshipping a golden calf, you can go and teach them Torah. That's the inference in the Be'er Sheva. Says Rav Adi Yosef Nabi Omer in Chelik Bezer Odeya Semin Yad Zayin. I'm not entirely sure if that's what Tosfos is actually giving you a heter to do. I don't know if Tosfos is going to give you a heter to go teach Torah to someone who's bowing down to a golden calf. And it just means you don't have to stop someone who's far away from Torah to learn Torah. But it doesn't mean you should go and actively teach them Torah, right? That's all Tosfos is telling us. If someone who's a mumar, someone who's worshipping a Avodah Zarah, is learning Torah, it doesn't mean I have to go and slap the book out of their hands. But it doesn't necessarily mean I should go and actively teach them Torah, and therefore Rav Avadja questions such a limud from Tosfos. The Chidah writes again in the Zroa Yamin that Beis Hillel understand the teaching of Torah to a Talmid Shenagon is only private, but not in the Beis Medrash with other students. And that brings us now to part two. Fine. I'm allowed to teach Torah to the Talmud who's acting terribly, improper, doing terrible things. But does that mean I should bring him into the Beis Medrash and he should sit in the Beis Medrash to everybody else? Or maybe it just means I should teach him Torah alone in the privacy of my own home. Because what's the downside of having to the base madrash? Maybe he will affect other people, have a bad influence on other people. So what do we say about such an approach? So the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph says, "Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kol Shona LeTalmid Shenu Hagun No Fell BeGehenim." Someone who teaches Torah to a Talmud who's improper will fall down to Gehenim. That is very sharp. The Ben Yehoyada says, or Yosef Chaim Baghdad says, it doesn't mean he's going to go to Gehenim. What it means is that they're going to bring him down to Gehenim and they're going to show him all the terrible averos that his Talmud did and see all the terrible ways that he was mechazik him in his averos. It doesn't mean you're going to go to Gehenim. It means you're going to show you what's going on in Gehenim to make you feel bad for teaching Torah to such a terrible person. Okay. One possible explanation. And then the Gemara says something even more strange. Amar Rabbi Zeir Amar Rav Kol Shon LeTalmid Shenu Hagun Kezorek Even LeMarkulis. If you teach Torah to a Talmud who's improper, it's like throwing a rock at Markulis. Markulis is a form of Avodah Zarah. How did you worship such an Avodah Zarah? You took rocks and you threw it at the Avodah Zarah. So it's like a person worshipped this type of Avodah Zarah. The Ginas of Aradim writes in Or Chaim, in Chelik Beis Lamed Aleph, he says that based on this Gemara, it's usher to have any dealing with Rishayim at all who do mitzvos. That's how far he goes. That's not the halacha, but this is a very stark and very strict Gemara. How do we understand this idea of connecting it to throwing rocks at the Avodah Zarah? So there's three possible mahachim. Levush writes here in Reish Mem Vav that what happens? A person threw it, and he threw the rock at the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because he intended to destroy it. He thought he was doing something good. He's destroying the Avodah Zarah. But little did he realize, what was he doing? He was doing an act that was serving the Avodah Zarah. Because this Avodah Zarah is served by throwing rocks at him. So too, the Rebbe thought he was doing something good by teaching him Torah, but really he was doing something destructive. That's the lesson here. The Maharsha says that Torah is like a precious stone. And this person is taking the Torah, this precious stone, and transferring it into an Avodah Zarah. That means that you're throwing a rock, an Evan Tova, a jewel, and instead of using the Torah in its proper way, you're taking that jewel and throwing it at a form of Avodah Zarah. That is the Maharsha's explanation. The Maharal here has an outstanding explanation. Says the Maharal that the Avodah Zarah of Markulis is worshipped by throwing stones and making a large pile. What's the purpose of throwing stones and making a pile? Because people will see the pile and be like, "Ah, look at this pile of stones. Tell me more about what's going on here. Oh, this is an Avodah Zarah. We worship it by throwing stones." The pile of stones, by throwing stones at the pile, is meant to catch people's attention and to show them the beauty of this Avodah Zarah. So says the Maharal, a person who teaches Torah to a Talmud Shein Hagun is indicating to the world that this thing that is bad is good. When you throw the stones at the pile, you're building up the giant neon sign that says, "Go worship this Avodah Zarah." When you teach Torah to the Talmud Shein Hagun, what are you doing? You're showing off to the world that this is a person who's good, when in reality, he's not good. And that is false advertising in its worst form. So says the Maharal. What do we see from here? We can possibly say that the whole issue, according to the Maharal, is what? Teaching Torah to an improper student where? In public. Right? That was the Maharal's issue. Because I'm publicizing it. But if I learn Torah with this bad person, this bad student in private, and I want to bring him back to Torah with ropes of love and pull him back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it would be fine. That would seemingly fit with the Maharal's explanation. Says the Maharshag in Chelek Beis Siman Reish Gimel, that the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Vav Zayin and the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah Dalet Aleph bring the halach of not teaching a Talmud Shein Hagun, right? The Rambam writes, and this is in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Melamdin Torah Elo La Talmud Hagun No B'masa. We should teach Torah to someone who is a pleasant, nice person. O Latam. Now, we have to explain what that means, O Latam, momentarily. But, says the Rambam, Aval Im Haya Holech B'derech Lo Tova Machzir No Sol Lamutov. If he's going in the wrong path, we should bring him back. Umahigin oso b'derech hisharan, to guide him on the straight path. Ubotkin oso, and then check. V'yachon kach machnis noso lebeis hamedresh. Umalandon oso. What does the Rambam say? Then you can bring him into the Beis Hamedresh. So says the Maharshag. The whole issue here is, can you bring the person to the Beis Hamedresh in a public fashion? Therefore, says the Marashag, if I'm not teaching the improper students in public, and no one knows, and it's done in private, then kol hakavod, good for you, you're going to bring him back to Torah. And then when you correct him from his improper ways, and he's already on the proper path, doesn't have to be perfect, but once he's on the proper path, then you can bring him to the Beis Medrash. The allegorical resolution is that if the student is Hagun, right, so the Gemara in Taina says, on Daf Zayin, that water, that the pasuk says that water should be brought to someone who's thirsty, right? Well, another pasuk says that the thirsty should go to water. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? The water should go to those who are thirsty, the thirsty should go to those who need water. So says the Marashag, the person who is the Rasha, so that person, you should go to him to make sure that he's going to be taught. But if the person's going to be in public, so if the person's going to be in public, he shouldn't be such a rasha. Meaning, are you going to go to the water, or is the water going to come to you? Are you going to go to the person to make sure that he's going to be taught Torah, but not in public, or he's going to go into a public fashion as well? And this is the understanding of the Shulchan Aruch of the Rambam, as we said before. This is also Pin Rav Avadya Yosef in the Maor Yisrael on page Lamed Ches, that in public in the Beis Medrash is a problem, but in private is certainly fine. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal HaTanya writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in his great work on the Halachos of Torah, in Perek Dal Alf, listen to this. A Melamdin Torah L'Talmud Sheinu Hagun, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, Elamachzir No So L'Mutav Tchila, just like the Rambam, you have to bring him back. V'Yachakach Machanis No So L'Beis HaMerish, then bring him to the Beis Medrash, U'Melamdin No So. V'im Iyashar L'Achzir L'Mutav, if I cannot correct him properly, Tchila, V'Udochet L'Kanesh L'Lamdo, but he says, I want to go learn Torah anyway, but the guy's a terrible person. T'yasmo Docha V'Yamin Mekareves. Push him in with the left, pull him in with the right. Veloki Yoshua ben Parachia, not like Yoshua ben Parachia, who pushed away Ploni. Oso Ha'ish Yeshu, as we know from the Gemara in the end of Sota, the censored Gemaras in Sanhedrin, that this is talking about Yeshu Hanotzri, that he pushed him away totally, and that led to his ultimate leaving Yiddishkeit totally. But rather, you have to bring him in with the right, push him with the left, as Dr. Pelkovitz always likes to beautifully point out. When you actually do that with your hands, you push it with the left, and you bring it with the right, what do? You turn the person around. So this is the lesson of the Gemara over here. Now, the only issue with applying the Rambam is that the Rambam first is discussing a Talmud Hagun who's not going in the proper path. If you look at the Rambam carefully, he just says you need to teach Torah to a proper student, but he's holich b'derech lo tova. Meaning, the person's a good person, but he's just a little bit off the derech. That's a careful reading of the Rambam. And then only later on does the Rambam reference a Talmud she'eno hagun, someone who's actually doing something very bad. So we have to see if that's really what the Rambam is talking about. But this is certainly the understanding of the poskim. The Kloizenberg Rebbe writes in Divrei Yitziv, in Yoredeya, in Kuf Lamed Zayin Dalad. And he says it's only a problem to teach a Talmud Sheinu Hagun if there's other students around, because he's going to negatively influence them. In the Beis Medrash, the Sefer Chasidim writes in Kuf Pei Tes that we remove disruptive students if their presence will hurt other students. And the Igros Moshe writes in Yoredeya, in Aleph Kuf Lamed Tes and other shuvas as well, regarding teaching Torah in a conservative school. Rav Moshe has a long, long discussions about this. But one of the points he brings out of why it might not be a problem is because everyone in the room in a conservative school is Eino Hagun in that regard. All the kids have improper machshavos. So who's you going to influence? They all need to be brought in. The whole classroom needs chizuk and needs to be brought the proper path of Torah. So if I'm going to teach a classroom and I'm going to be speaking to one kid from a conservative home who has improper thoughts about what Yiddishkeit is and might not have what we're looking for, so says Rav Moshe, the whole room has improper thoughts about Yiddishkeit. So it's not going to affect one person or the other. So says Rav Moshe, that would not be a problem over there as well. Now, in discussions regarding expelling students from school, which you find in the letters of the Chazon Ish, you find the letters of Rav Shach, they discuss these issues, so they never reference our sugya. They talk about other issues. Rav Shach does an article in the RJJ Journal, I think the 12th RJJ Journal, Rav Shach does an article about it. They never reference our sugya. I don't know why, but seemingly these should be topics that would be discussed at that time. Now, the Marashag offers a different approach to explain a Talmud Sheinu Hagun versus teaching a Talmud who is, let's say, not the best. So the Marshag quotes the Baal Tanya, not in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but in the actual Tanya. The Tanya writes that a person who's doing the Aveira at that moment is different than the person who has done an Aveira. A person who is doing an Aveira is cut off from Kedusha. If a person is wearing Shatnez, if a person is eating a cheeseburger at that moment in time, so their Kedusha is being cut off. That person, Torah is not going to help them while they're doing an Aveira at that moment in time. But Torah will help a person who did do Aveiros and now is not doing Aveiros at this moment. You can pull him back over there. And therefore, says the Marshag, you shouldn't teach Torah to a person who's doing an Aveira while you're teaching him Torah, right? You should not go out to McDonald's and have a chabura with Balei Tshuva while they're eating cheeseburgers. That's not going to work, he says. Because you can't have the light of the Torah improving you while you're doing an Aveira. It can't happen. But while they're not doing an Aveira, says the Maharshag, then you can pull them back with Torah. Right, this is what the Medrash and Eicha said, right? That as long as the person has a connection to Torah, the light of Torah can bring them back no matter what. Okay, last point we want to bring out. The third issue is, let's say I don't know the character of the student. I don't know. Is he good? Is he bad? I heard he's bad. I don't really know for sure. Do I have to investigate? So let's see. The Gemara in Brachos, as we know, says on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, right, we have it again at the top of the page, that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took his place. So they removed the guard from the base medrash, and they allowed all the students to enter. And Gamliel used to announce that the Talmud can't enter unless he is Tocho Kibara. Right, that's the famous Gemara. The Ben Yehuda asks, Mimanafshach, I don't understand. Did the rest of the Tanaim agree with Rabbi Gamliel's psak to not allow those in who are not Tocho Kibara? If they agreed with him, so then what's the discussion? He had everybody's backing, and, you know, Rabbi Gamliel agreed. If they didn't agree with him, so why did they let him do it? So listen to this. Says the Ben Yehuda, brilliant, brilliant explanation. He says that originally the Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Gamliel, and they thought he was right. And then this whole episode occurred, and Rabbi Gamliel became deposed, and the Chachamim were a little bit confused. Is he right? Is he wrong? And then who became appointed as the Nasi? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the night before he became the Nasi? We all know. The Gemara says right before this, that the 18 strands of white appeared in his beard. So even though he was a young man, he was 18 years old, so now he'll appear like an older man, right? All the children like to say over by the Pesach Haggadah, Harine Keben Shivim Shana, it's like I'm Ben Shivim Shana, because I'm 18 and I look older. Or if you want to say that he was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi died when he was 52, and 52 plus 18 is 70, whatever all the great Pesach Torah is. So, says the Ben Yehoyada, what was the purpose of that miracle? What a crazy miracle. If they knew he was 18, do you think 18 strands of white in his beard is going to make a difference? All of a sudden they're going to give him such kavod? What's the difference? So says the Ben Yehoyada, the miracle was not for Elazar ben Azariah. The miracle was to show the Chachabim who originally agreed with Rav Gamliel, you made a mistake. You thought that the halacha was tocho kibara, that a person's outsides needs to match his insides. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, his Torah is huge. It's magnificent. But what does he look like? An 18-year-old kid. Not always does the inside need to match the outside to have great things. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah looks very young, but he had such wisdom inside of him. He was not tocho kibara in that sense. And that was the lesson that he was teaching them with this miracle. Okay, the Ein Yaakov and the Tosfos of Rosh have a different gears than the Gemara. They say, the Gemara in Mechulin that teaches us that Talmud Sheinu Hagen is like throwing a rock to the Markulis, and the Bartanura on the Mishnah of Amidu Talmidim Harbe says that the Mishnah is against Rabbi Gamliel. The halacha is that you don't have to check the students. That's the halacha, says the Bartanura. The Rambam wrote, let's go back to what the Rambam said, because the Rambam used a strange word. The Rambam said, in Malamdin Torah El Talmid Hagun Na B'Masav, you teach Torah to a good student who has good midos, O Latam. What does Tam mean? What does that mean? What's the Rambam talking about? We didn't see that anywhere. So says the Kesef Mishnah, Ein Malandim O Latam Kolomer. What's a Tam? Shem Barur Lanu Im Hutov Im Lov. O Lo. We teach Torah to someone if he's good at it. We're unsure. He's Tam. He's a nice guy. Maybe we're unsure. It's unclear. You teach Torah to him anyway. We only are hesitant in teaching Torah if we know for sure that something is wrong. But if the person is Tam, if it's unclear of his status, says the Kesef Mishnah, we are allowed to teach Torah to them, and therefore, many poskim say that if you don't know about the quality of the student, and we don't investigate if he's Tocha Kabaro, so you can teach him Torah in the base medrash. In the base medrash, okay? Place like Eish HaTorah or Sameach. Guy walks in, don't ask any questions, looks like a nice guy, teach him Torah, no questions asked. This is the understanding of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the Simas Chaim and Simon Toshin Ches, Rav Yisachar Tachtal in the Mishnah Seir Nor Chaim Simon Reish Adal, and the Mishnah Halachos in Ches Reish Mem Zion as well. Three other points that are brought up here in our discussion. Rav Baruch Eckfeld, who's the Av Basin of Chus in Hungary, so he writes in the Peyas Asad in Chilak Basin Ches that if the student is Hagun now, but you know he's planning on doing bad things later on, so then you're still out teaching Torah. His example is if a person is in yeshiva, but he's going to go to university later on. So, obviously, we have no problem going to university. But in such a case where the person wants to go to university later on, and that's considered Eino Hagun, so then you're allowed to teach him Torah now, even though he might stray off the Derech later on. The Yushalmi Msachim in Parakei says not to teach Agada to a Baal Gaiva. And the Sefer Chassidim cites this in Siman Reish Sadi Zayin, not to teach philosophy and machshava to someone who's very haughty. The reason may be because machshava, agadata, moves a person emotionally. And the person's already very emotional about himself. He doesn't need any more, you know, fire to be fueled. Rashi writes in Bavvasa Yudam and Aleph that the darshanim get a lot of kavod, right? Because darshanim, the people who give the popular electric speeches, are much more popular because they get people excited and emotional. Okay, the halacha shir, the psak is not so exciting, but those people who give the exciting shirim, they get a lot of kavod, and therefore that's we have to be careful not to teach a lot of machshava, I guess, says the Yushalmi, to people who have a lot of gaiva. Rav Yehuda ben Harash, the son of the Rush, writes in the Zichron Yehuda and Simen Chaf that wearing a head covering during Limud HaTorah is a good thing. And the Chuvas Maharshal and Simen Ayin Beis says that wearing a head covering, wearing a yarmulke while learning is proper, but it's not usur not to wear one. So it's a shayla in the Shelas Moshe in Simen Chaf Beis, Rav Moshe Wasserman. He was the Rav of the Neve Sha'anan neighborhood in Tel Aviv right after the war. So he says that you can teach Torah to a man who won't wear a yarmulke, so this person won't stray any further than Torah. You sit with a person and say, you know, we're going to learn Torah, you might put on a yarmulke, it's respectful. And the guy says, forget you, I'm not learning. Not wearing a yarmulke. So he says, the Shiras Moshe, you can still teach in Torah. That should not kill the whole deal. Lemaisa, we see it's important to teach Torah to bring people back to Torah and mitzvos as a vehicle. If a person is disruptive with bad midos, we need to make sure to separate him from the rest of the people, not to influence them negatively, especially... You know, nowadays, we live in much bigger communities. When we lived in tight-knit communities where if the Rebbe gave the Talmud a cold shoulder, so that was a strong message, he would improve himself, take the Musar, and then come back, so that was possible. But nowadays, our communities are not as tight-knit. If the person gets the cold shoulder from the Rebbe, he'll just, you know, leave and have no connection to Torah. And therefore, we need to make sure to use Torah to bring people back to Torah, to mechazik them, and to bring good things for the Jewish people.